You remember in this particular book of John, this is the book that reaches your heart, not your head, not your behavior. This is what reaches your heart. And it was given in such a way that you might believe. You could believe. Faith comes by hearing. So you hear it, and all of a sudden, one day, it strikes you. And I've often mused about this. When I became a Christian, I remember I knew that there was a God, and then I knew that Jesus was his son, and then I knew that at some point in my life, but I never knew when that was, but now I know, at least I see something that I never, ever, ever thought of until right now. When I was little, I don't know, 2 or 3, I don't know when it started, my mother taught me a prayer, and I said it like this: "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before..." What? "Before I wake up, you know, if I should die that, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And I realized, because I never was a Christian. I never went to church. I didn't go to church until I was about 11, because that the third father forced us. But I realized, because I didn't learn anything, or I had head knowledge, perhaps, but I didn't really care about that. I was just a little kid. But I think it probably happened when I said that prayer every night, because she used to come into... we had cots in those days. That was World War II. So we brought out our cots and slept on the cots. And then we'd say that prayer. It's like, wow, that's incredible. Who knows whether I believed or not? I don't know. But all I know is, wow, that gospel got to me. Thank you for Mom. Because I think I was in between mother husbands. So... the first one was a one-night stand. The next one was gone in a couple of years. And the next one came when I was 7. So that was the last one. Anyway, but I had the gospel already, but without knowing it, I didn't even think about anything. And so I was just a worldly pagan heathen and grew up that way. But I thank God that I knew that I knew that I knew. I don't know. I can't say until I go to heaven and ask God that. I'm sure he'd be busy with other people. But when did I knew that I knew that I knew? this idea that little kids pray. I don't know if you... how many have ever prayed that prayer when you were little? That prayer... I was amazed that when I thought of that, I was rehearsing John the 17th chapter. I was amazed. Wow, maybe that's when I knew that there was a God. I mean, I have to know inside of myself because I didn't have any consciousness of it. You just prayed, but it was a habit or a ritual that we did all the time, and never went to church, so I didn't know anything about church. But I think that was powerful. So I'm just saying that because what made me say that when in 1971, whatever it was, I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God, and I never knew that. I never consciously knew that. And not only that, I knew that I had to die. I knew that it would be death for me. I would never again be me. And it happened so suddenly, but I knew that it was forever. God the Father, Jesus his Son, to the death for me. And from that moment on, my life changed. And I was never worried about anything, because I knew there was a God. And I'd never worked at that, thought about that. I knew what the Bible said, but it was just head knowledge. It just had never touched my heart. But that day, I knew it touched my heart. And it's just an experience that I had. So why tell you that? Because if this book was written so that everyone who reads it and hears it then may come to faith, which is the only way to please God, you'd have to now believe that you didn't exist, that you had nothing but mere existence, but you didn't have eternal life, or you didn't enjoy it because you didn't even know about it. But that night I knew, this reaches my heart. And I knew I'd never be the same. This is a life-changing for that reason. But it might have happened right back there when I was a little kid that she taught me that prayer. Thank God. I don't know if people do that anymore. Do they teach their children that? So some of you did do that, but do you teach your children? Because if they don't have that, I think the world today is so surreal. It's not what people ought to be, and certainly not the kind of nation we became in words. But now people are raw. They don't care about right or wrong or whatever. And I don't know what the numbers are, but whatever they are, too many that are just immoral, idolaters, unjust people. And they just practice all that. And there's nothing you can do about it. And what characterizes my life is after that moment in 1971, and that was Christmas time, by the way. It was the 26th that we got on an airplane, flew out to Arizona. But I had only one goal in my mind. That was to be righteous. And I knew I couldn't. I know there's no way. Just, you're so used to lying and so on and so forth. I just couldn't imagine. I didn't even understand any. I understood it in the head knowledge, but not in my heart. But I knew all of a sudden, I have to die. I can't live. I want to be righteous. Now, most other ministers, and I'm not bawling them out, I'm just simply pointing out a fact. Most ministers and Christians are not really interested in heaven or being righteous before God. But that became my whole desire. And the more I read it, and the more I read it as not just in a student way in the head, but the more I read it as a Christian, I realized to be a Christian, you have to be righteous. You'd be righteous by faith. So faith is the word, the Greek word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. And it could be faithfulness. It could be. You have faith in such a way, so that word could be translated either way in the Greek. But that faith that you had to have is the only way you can please God. So I knew right away, head knowledge, that there's only two ways to do it. You either do works of the law, and then you think that's a good thing, I'm pleasing God, but I knew that was wrong. So if you don't do it that way, then you can do works, but they have to be God-wrought, not man-wrought. And that's the problem I had, is because if I'm going to do it, I have to wait on God or something, because I don't know how to do it God-wrought, because I'm not God. But if I'm going to be righteous, and that's my only goal, is I want to be one that pleases God, not by doing something, but by believing something. Not by doing, but by believing. So all of us here are Protestants, meaning you were raised that way, that you thought that, and everybody thinks it naturally, what can I do to please God? Actually, nothing. And that's why we're small, because I preach that you can't do anything. But my goal then was not to not to tell you how to live or behave yourself or judge what you're doing. It's never been my goal. Because I got in free. I didn't pay for it. And I knew I couldn't. I absolutely knew I could. I never, ever thought in my life that I would be godly or do right. Because I never had. And I always justified it. It's like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And so I knew that if there was a God, and when Carl was born, that's when I had give God a little bit of time to save me. If there was a God, I said, God, I know you're not a God, and I've never known you. And if you do, I'm going to bawl you out if my daughter grows up and then loves me because I'm fake and phony. If she loves me, then she'll be disappointed and hate me later. And so that's not fair to give me a girl. A guy I could handle. Just beat the tar out of him and he's okay. But girls, you can't do that to a girl. I'm not going to do it. So it's your fault. It's not my fault. It's your fault for putting him in this family first. He should have given me a boy or something like that. Anyway, it's not humorous. It's just what I thought. So I remember lifting her up at the gardens over here. That was November 17th, which we just passed. But I remember giving her up and said, God, because I don't even know that I'm speaking to anybody, probably not, but I'm going to just lift her up. I don't know where I got that idea. It just came to me. Lift her up. I was, you know, in the snow. The snow is at least 6-8 inches. I don't know what it was. But nobody was in the Botanic Gardens on November 17th because it was snowing. The streets are snowing. But I had a Volkswagen, and that it doesn't mind snow at all. And so I just drove in there, and I was surprised no one was there looking at the flowers. But anyway, I went in there, and I lifted her up and said, God, you have a year and a half. Then I thought, no, don't say that. Give him some more time. If I'm going to get saved, I need to have it be genuine and all that thing. It's God-wrought thing. So I went out to Arizona right after Christmas because I had read this book. And this lady had 3 PhDs and so on and so forth, German and so on and so forth. And they had a sisterhood here, even though they were Lutheran. They had habits and so on and so forth, just like they were Catholic. And because of that, I knew I don't want anything that's not God wrought. I don't want that. I want to be righteous. And since you're the only one that can do that, and I don't control you, and you're the only one that's good, so I don't have any control over you. I can't be real sincere because I'm not sincere. And so I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. But I know one thing. I want to be righteous. And apparently that's okay. You can do that. So if you have the 2 years. Anyway, within that time, that's when it happened. And I realized this is what I want to do. And I knew from then on I was going to be happy. No matter what. Because I don't mind suffering. I don't care about suffering. I don't care about anything. But I'm going to serve you all the way. You can't start and not finish. Whatever the start and finish is, I got to do all that. So my background helped me because Luther was immaculate in understanding the gospel. And I had studied all that. I have umpteen books and so on and so forth. A lot. So I have several hundred books at least, and I read them. And I was known in school as Nietzsche and Kierkegaard. That was my pagan days. But then I also, I wanted to know everything about Luther because I liked him, because he was raw, he was real. And he just said so clearly what the gospel is. And that's all I wanted to know. Just, what is the good news? What is it? I know what it is. Intellectually, I want to know what it is now in the heart. So I'm committed to that. So that's how this all, entered into me. So I have a lot of knowledge, but I didn't have any spiritual knowledge of God until that moment. Now, here's how it starts out. This is the 17th chapter, verse 3 is the one I want to get to. So I'm going to start out. 17. All right. These things spoke Jesus and lifted up the eyes of him to heaven and said, Father, has come the hour to glorify you, the Son. It's now the time. That also, this Son of you, this is the Greek, this Son of you may be glorified with you. And you gave to him authority over all flesh, so that all of you, he has power over all flesh. Remember, he said that. I have power over all flesh. In other words, he could do things because he was sent to earth to do this. And so the third verse here, 17:3, says, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, the "and" intimately ties those two together. He should have just said, God is good. But he didn't say that. He says that they may know thee, all my followers. I want them to know you because that's why you were sent, so that we might believe. So I realize here he's going to define eternal life. This is eternal life. What? He's going to define it. That they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I would say of the ministers that I know and of the people I know, few of them want this righteousness. They want to do things. They want to, you know, help people and do all kinds of things. But they're not seeking after righteousness, because that's an individual thing. That's just chair 4, 5, and 6, the way I do it, but it's just a way of saying, that's all I wanted. I didn't know if it was one time you get born again, or do you go on and finish this thing, born again and then disciple and then being a lover and so on. Whatever it is, I want all of that. Otherwise, it's not God brought. And since he did the first one imputedly, not gratia infusa, like something is infused in you, changed you. I knew you weren't changed. It had to be by faith in him, not faith in what I thought or what I felt or what I wanted or what I did. Couldn't be that. It has to be just by faith. Sola scriptura, only scripture. Sola gratia, only grace. That's imputed. Only then faith, sola fide, solus Christus, sola, solus Christus, only Christ, and soli Deo gloria, to God be all the glory. So I understood that. I understood that from my languages. And the whole scripture came alive for me when I began to think about that. Is, wow, God is the only one that initiates anything. Bereshit, that's the first word of the Bible. Bereshit, that's three words right there. B-E is in, and then Rosh, the next R, Rosh, and then eat on the end. So Rosh, eat. So all of that was in the beginning, and I'm going to say it this way because that's the way it is. The very beginning. Nothing else could then intervene. I know what people have written about, you know, stuff before all this happened. There are eons and millions of years. Nonsense. I don't believe that at all. This is the very beginning of the world. Now remember, he's going to talk about the first 7 days of that world. But before the foundation of the world, Jesus was already slain. Because God knew when he created man, because he knows everything, he knows that man will be wicked. He knows that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if all have sinned, that means all. that means all. So if righteousness can't mean me helping God, me cooperating with God, me adding to God, I can't. If I'm righteous, that means I don't have any life except Jesus. I don't have any friend except Jesus. I don't have any Savior except Jesus. I don't have any Lord except Jesus. I don't have anything. So He is the one that does everything, just like God created the world without me. He also can justify me, sanctify me, glorify me without me. And that's a radical view, but it's the view Luther had. And so since that was my only background, I had to keep reading until I understood what Luther meant by faith, what did the founders do, because I can say Calvin didn't follow this way, and Wesley did not either, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I realized I'm going to stick with this one, because this is the one I started with. I'm going to stick with this one till I either see what he's done wrong, and he did do things wrong, or where he's right. But this is the only thing I'm interested in. How do you get justified by faith? It's how do you do it? If you're just by faith, the just shall live by faith. That's Habakkuk 2:4. So Habakkuk 2:4 says the just shall live by faith. Old Testament. And so if you're living, then you have to realize what word they use for live. The word is eternal life is different than life. Bios in the Greek. Bios is just you're alive biologically, which I was when I was a pagan. But then, and I lived that way. But now I was born again, born from above. And how is that? Well, you have to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith. You don't even get to see it? No. You can't prove it? There's no security here? Everybody, you live in an uncertain world. You live in everyone wants security. That's why they hate faith. They hate faith. The whole world hates faith. That's why it's an anti-Christian world. Yeah. You just hear what I just said. So when I think of bad guys, I don't think of bad guys. I just think, you know, they weren't taught. They don't know the gospel. They want security in this world. And everybody justifies themselves. Because you have to, you know, explain why you're doing stuff. But the point is, I knew that's not righteousness. This one is a gift from heaven to earth. And you can't see it. You just have to believe it, that you're a new creation. A brand new creation. You're not Jew or Gentile. So Jew and Gentile fade away. There are people still who are Jewish and who are Gentile. But I'm just saying, they're ignorant. They don't know the gospel. So my whole goal was to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And my life, I knew my life wasn't like that. I knew my life was just still pagan. And so if you're going to do it, God, you got to go all the way on this so that I'm not only, you know, a disciple when he's fully taught, that is chair 5 there, that means you'll be like the master. Wow, I'm not like him at all. Not my behavior. And I realized, if I want to be righteous, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on and so forth, if I want to be righteous and I don't control you and I can't just do it in the flesh because I'm spirit, but I don't see the spirit. I don't know where he is. He was kind of the lowest man on the totem pole, but I realized he must do something. So I could read what it said he did, that he's the one that's building you as a church. So he starts not at the foundation chair 4. He starts at chair 5, which is building, not a building. He's building you and I to be no sin. But he forgave my sin in chair 4. But now he's removing my sin. That is, he's actually cleansing me from all unrighteousness, so that he can perfect me in love, chair 6, which is where my neighbor comes in. Because then I had to realize, well, I don't really like people that much. I didn't like my parents. I didn't like anybody, you know. And so you'd have to do that too to get me to be not hostile toward anybody, or, you know, because Peggy can tell you, I just would say whatever came to me, just talk and say, I don't like that guy, so on, sort of like, no Christianity to it or not. I knew how to fake it as a hypocrite, but I knew, hey, if this is God wrought, you better rot. You better do something to change me. And since it's not up to me, it's up to you, you need to get going. Because I'm now a Christian, I believe in Jesus, chair 4, but I'm not a disciple. I don't want to be like you. I want to sin and get away with it. And then I don't want to be a lover. I don't like people. And so how many know that what I'm saying is the truth, whatever you think, is this is what the Bible teaches, is that you have to go all the way. I got lots of scriptures, tons of it, to say if you just stop at one, you're still not going to heaven because of that. Now, only God can judge, so I'm not a judge. So I don't care. I don't care about your behavior, because I'm not going to judge by behavior. It says no. Not doing the works of the law. You have to be saved without doing the works of the law. Clear in the Jewish case, clear in the Catholics, clear in most Protestants, clear in all the other religions of the world. They're all into doing something. And people say, well, you got to do something. It's like, what? What can you do if God rots it? He didn't have to do it. If God is the only one that can give you that eternal life, then he has to do it, and all you can do is thank him. Because you didn't have anything cooperating and, you know, just working alongside or, remaking stuff or whatever. No, you can't do it. It has to be God wrought. Golly, God, this thing doesn't make sense. It's not even intelligent. It doesn't make sense, because how can you do it? I could be a fake, but then deep inside, I would resent it. Because I'd know, hey, this is not the real you. And if God does this fix-up thing, he better be fixing. Because I'm not able to do it. And I knew by listening to people and watching them, I knew that they aren't any different than me. So that was a problem, because I realized, you know, the only thing I'm really good at is telling this gospel over and over again of what God promised to Abraham. I know this because I'm reading all the time. I'm always reading 5 hours every day. I was up at 3:30, you know, this morning. And I just keep reading, and I don't stop. I just keep reading, and I hope it isn't time for church. I just want to read. Because I want to know more about the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin and so on. I want to know more and more about everything I'm doing. And that's my value to you, is in this church, I'm only interested in righteousness, chair 4. But that righteousness has two words to it. Dikaios is to declare something. So he's righteous, so you have to be righteous. But you can't be righteous. And then the sune on the end, dikaia sune, the sune on the end is the suffix to that particular root. So dike has actually three parts to it. Dike is righteousness or justice. So you have to be righteous and justice with God. In other words, have peace with God. This one affects it. So the sune is the effect of that. Dikaios sune. Dikaia sune. It's all one word. But so then if you're going to be that, then you got to go on to all the rest so that you're actually not hostile toward anyone. As a matter of fact, you not only fear God to read his word perfectly, but you, and that's what when it says fear God, Moshe Yireh Elohim, fear God. So Old Testament. If you don't fear him, you'll never love him. Because if you fear God, that's the law, makes you desperate that you're not righteous. Most people are not thinking of that day in and day out. I think about that day in and day out. Are you righteous? Don't give in to your flesh. Don't make provision for sin or for flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if I want God someday to say, well done, good and faithful servants, he's not talking about me doing it. He's talking about him doing it for me, in me, through me. 4, 5, and 6. So the atonement is always all three. You cannot say, I'm at one with this in my heart. I'm at one with this in my soul, which is to die, lose my life, I find it. My finding it is to love my neighbor as myself. So I worship God here in 4, and then I'm dead in 5 as I worship God. You're changed. Beholding him, we're changed from 1 degree of glory, 5 to 6, to another degree of glory. So those two. So 4 is imputed righteousness. These are actual righteousness that God is working in my life so that everything is God wrought. It's not me. And when that happens, I'm marveling, thanking, praising God, adoring him. I would say, I don't know how successful I have been. I can't even trust the 50th, you know, celebration because I don't know. I was surprised at that, and I cried to thinking maybe I affected somebody. That's powerful. I mean, not me doing it, Christ doing it. And I'm sure everyone knew that. I mean, sure, they were not thanking me. They were thanking me for getting them to Jesus in such a way that they could go on with their life rather than just being chair 4. Amen. Because most Christians would say, I'm in chair 4, hoping I get to 5 someday or whatever, but they're really not working at it. And you can preach them all the time. I do it all over the world. But the third world is much more open than is this world. This world in Europe and America and all that stuff. It's hard because people here are saturated with religion. Yeah. But I don't even believe in religion. I only believe in relationship. Because that's what touched me on that day. He actually revealed himself to me, and I wasn't even thinking anything nice. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I didn't have anything nice. I was out for myself, you know. So I'll just take care of myself, fully on everybody else. So to change me, that would be somewhat dramatic. With all my head knowledge, I can't get past that, you know, because, you know, I was a straight 8++. I was wanting to go on and be great, amount to a hill of beans. But it didn't work out that way. So here I am in a small little church. I could be on television, radio, blah, 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 and be great, awesome. But when I became a Christian, that's it. You have to be righteous first. And if you are mature in Christ, because he says in this, not only believe in Jesus that you're forgiven, but also here, be cleansed from all unrighteousness, and then go on to be perfected in love so that you can be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And that would be us, as plural. Well, that's a big challenge right there. And I realize I have to die every day. Wow. I'd like to do a little sin every once in a while. Like the, because you get tired of being holy all the time. I want to be a little bit so I can relate to people. Anyway, I'm full of jokes. But the point is that righteousness is the only foundation for this thing. You have to be justified by faith. Faith not in yourself. Everything in the world is like this. Self-realization, self-actualization, you know, self. It's all selfish, completely selfish, 100%. No love at all. Conditional love, that's not unconditional love. So when God says, you know, that I want you to be righteous, dikaiosune, declare it and effect it. Declare it and effect it. So he not only declared the kingdom of God, the gospel of God's kingdom on earth, but also then effected it by living in us so that he could work then for us and then make me different with no unrighteousness and then to go on to be a Christian. So I don't want to ask this question, and I'm not going to ask it. But this is what I was going to say if I did. How many of you have only this one thought in your mind that you come to church to learn the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
That's even what our government is fashioned that way. We're a republic of laws, but they're not just human laws. Human laws are down on the bottom of the totem pole. Human laws has to pass muster before the peoples, and we got this out of the Bible, so that you actually have to have justice on earth. You just can't have, this is a gift of God. It was God wrought. There's not man, no man ever thought, let's have a just government. Nobody ever thought that. You can see that looking at the world. Today, they don't have that because they're not, you don't have righteous individuals. If you don't have a righteous individual, how can you be a pastor? How can you be anything in this world? If you're a worker, whatever, you cheat. It's exactly how I grew up. And I knew how to do that. And I thought, no, you can't do that. This is, you now know that there's a God, Jesus is his son, and you have to be Christ-like. Spirit, soul, body. In me, for me, through me. I have to do all that, Lord, and I can't. I know I can't. So you have to kill me. I want you to kill me. Whatever it takes, I want you to destroy me. This hammer has to beat me to smithereens until there's not a shard left. And so that was hard, especially Peggy. Because I read in the Bible, it said, as Christ loved the church, let every man love his wife. Yuck. Wow. I'm way behind schedule on that. I'm way behind. So how can you do that? God, you have to do it. You're the only one that's acting in the universe. So get acting on me. No, we care about anybody else. Just get me. Kill me. So Paul says, I die daily. If you die daily, and he loads you with blessings daily, those things don't fit together somehow, but they do. So he can bless you every day by showing you your sin. That's what it is. So now I can see the law makes me desperate because I realize I'm not righteous. Like in 4, you forgave my sin, but they're still with me. And now you're removing all my sin by cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And then you want to perfect me in love so that I love my neighbor as myself. Well, that would be, those are three killers right there. Because I thought I was doing fine. I thought I was okay. But now I realize it's not head knowledge. It's not making money. It's not doing anything. You have to totally rely on Jesus Christ and be righteous and have no righteousness of your own. Are you following me so far? So, I'm not wanting to talk about myself. I'm wanting to talk about the gospel. If to know thee, the only true God, so there can't be any other, no idols, no, you know, immorality, none of that, all those fruits and so on, you can't have that. And no injustice. Well, there's injustice everywhere, and there's unrighteousness everywhere, and there's, you know, people not forgiven everywhere. So it's easy. But I can't make you do that because I don't have any force. Why? Because God doesn't have any force over me. It just came by hearing. Hearing is not thinking. It's not figuring it out. It's not doing something. Hearing is just hearing the word of God. Sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo gloria. I realized to be righteous, nobody's interested in this God. This will not sell. It's not going to sell. That's why we're small. Yeah. And I know that. I've had offers of people buying me churches and all that kind of stuff. I just turned down. No, I'm not interested. I'd rather have the people I have right here. They're way enough. Just one person could exhaust you.
Yeah.
And the more you help with people, the more you learn it doesn't help. Because it isn't God wrought. It has to be God wrought. So do I do some things? Yeah, I guess so. We had some people talking, but, you know, the truth is I have no idea because people can lie, they can cheat, they can be, you know, they can be exactly what I used to be. No, I don't want that. So, Lord God, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let you do everything, and I'm just going to be patient. If you can kill me, you can kill anybody. So start with me. You have totally me agreeing with you. Thank you for forgiving me. That's the thanks. The next one is not only thank you, but also then praise you for who you are, a killer. Amen. So being baptized in the Holy Spirit is for your death. Baptized in the Holy Spirit is not speaking with tongues. Those are just evidences. No, it's not just people, you know, jumping over the pews and stuff. It's not that. So I realize that enthusiasm is just people playing like they're religious. Yeah, and anybody can fake it. So I don't want to be a fake. I want to be the real thing. I want to go to heaven. Yeah. Just me personally. I want to go all the way to heaven, and you have to kill me every day. So one day, you know, you conquered pride or something. The next day you're proud again that you conquered it yesterday. And so you still have it. And so he has to get all those demons out of you and all those illusions you have and so on and so forth. He wants to actually make you into a Christ-like being on earth, and you don't ever have a security. All you have is the certainty of this word. All you have is the certainty of this word right here. That word that's called in Latin certitudo, but most people want securitas. Security is what people want, because then you can taste it, feel it, see it. But certainty of the word, there's nothing. It's just the word. And it's just a bare, naked word with nothing else to it. And that's how you get dead. That's what kills you. When you have faith, you're dead. Whenever your eyes on Jesus, you're dead. Because you're not having the eyes on myself. I can't be selfish. I can never be selfish. So Peggy has whittled me down over the years. And now, you know, she just keep whittling me until I'm nothing. Meaning, it's a joke. Meaning this, that whenever she says, you didn't take the garbage out, I just go and do it. You didn't do this, I just go and do it. I used to and say, well, you do it or whatever. But now I don't say that. I say, no, that's not right. I need to love Peggy as my first customer. And, you know, it's just like, you know, okay, whatever Peggy says, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, whatever. And I do it. So I don't do it. Now, am I perfect? No, I'm a long way from it. I don't even plan to, you know, do everything, but I'm working at it. You know, it's like a human work. But God, I'm waiting for you to keep killing me until I don't have a life, until I'm a nothing and she is everything. Do you all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you don't love your husband or your wife, either way, if you don't love your husband or your wife, you're not going to love the children either. Because you have too many troubles inside of you. You're too selfish. You got to really get out of yourself and not do what you think they need. You have to let God do it because you don't do it. You have to let God do it and say, I want death to me. I don't want to be me anymore. There's no longer Jim. I don't exist as Jim. I'm Jim and Jesus, Jesus and Jim. Okay, I can understand that. But I have no idea. I'm in a realm that I don't even know what I'm talking about. But I just do it by the Bible. You say it's in the Bible? Okay, I'm to do it. That doesn't mean you could tell me to do it. It's none of your business. I'll have to do it myself, right? You understand what I'm saying? That's why we're a little church of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where, yeah, Colleen did that. She said, you know, I'm in a little bitty church. I was from a big church, nice church. Growing church. Now I'm in this little town of Bethlehem thing. But God showed her that was the right place to start as a big foundation. So she's still here, still doing things. It's amazing. And you have to be desperate to be here. Because I'm not going to say what pleases you. I'm going to say what's the truth. Why? Because that's the truth. And you also have all the same problems I do. And when you do something, it's not clear whether that was you doing it or God doing it. If it's flesh doing it, it's sin, you perish. If it's spirit doing it, you didn't have anything to do with it. Jesus did it for you. To God be the glory. Then you have faith in God, that's four. Then you have praise, and then you have Also, not only faith in God and praise to Him, so now I believe in Him, He forgave my sins. Now I'm wanting to die here, but I also want to have the power of the resurrection life in me to love the neighbor as myself. And that's why we have, you know, 40,000 churches in Uganda and so on and so forth. Because you have to go all around the world. Whatever God says, do it, with no fear. And so I'm never fretting because of evildoers. I don't fret because of the homosexual agenda or the Al-Qaeda or, you know, whatever. I don't fret because of that, because God said fret not because of evildoers. So there's evildoers, and so I don't fret. Why? Because God said so. How do you do it? By faith. Yes, I know I do it by faith, but I believe God actually did it. I don't believe I did it. I know I did do it. And I'm always amazed that God can do anything. Not because I don't know what the Word says, but because I'm not used to that. I'm not used to God being God. So no longer self. Self has disappeared. When you lose yourself, then you find yourself. When you lose yourself, then you find yourself. Amen. But nobody wants to do that. Nobody. I think Danny's doing it. Good for you, Danny. Jeff, I think you're doing it. Okay. Clay is almost doing it. He's up and down. So I can identify with that. Because I was a total contradiction to myself, you know, believe in something, do something else. I mean, so to be a hypocrite means to be what you're not. That's something. You just be what you're not. But I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be the real thing so that God says someday, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. He did it. He's just rewarding himself for doing it. You see what I'm saying? It's not rewarding me. Because in heaven, you still will not have life in yourself. You'll still be in a relationship with Him who has life in Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they've made you their dwelling place of the living God on earth. And that changes the world. You want God to heal land? It's easy. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, will turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven your prayer, and not only that, I'll forgive your sins, not the wicked people. I'm not going to forgive their sins. I'll forgive my church's sins and heal your land. That's easy then. You can solve any problem in the world today. So there is no political problems. There are no economic problems. You have a God that guarantees everything. Amen. There aren't any personal or social issues. None. Bad people are not bad people. They've just never been taught the gospel because people aren't living it. You can say you're a Christian. Yes, you are, but you're just born again. That's it. That's just the foundation. But what about the building? And then what about what you do in that building toward the neighbor? So that's the whole issue here, and that's the end of the law. You've just now solved the whole law. You worship God with all your heart, and you serve your neighbor as yourself. And your death is the only thing in the middle. And your death is critical to loving your neighbor as yourself. We don't even love God either. But even if you don't love God, He loves you unconditionally. That's what you have your faith in. Him loving you, not you loving Him. You can't kill yourself. You can't do any of these things. They're all gifts of God. And I believe that's the true and living God. So I hope I blessed you today by reading something out of 17:3, that they may believe. How? To have eternal life. How? Because you must do this by faith, then by this discipleship, which is hard. Nobody wants to be discipled or disciplined and, you know, restrained in any way. Everybody wants to be themselves, realize yourself, and so on and so forth. But I can't do it. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to. I'm committed to letting God do it, and I'll be patient until He does it. And when He comes back, there'll be a millennium. Okay, fine. But what about today? Pre-millennial. What about today? You're a new creation. You don't have to wait for the millennium. The millennium's already started. You are now. There's no struggle here. You just believe that God has already done what He did before the foundation of the world. Before there even was a world, you already did everything. And now you're entering into what he did before the foundation of the world when he died on your behalf. So you're just saying, that's me. That's a me, new am. Now you am. You am. God used to be I am. But now he's included you in his family. And now through Jesus Christ, he's reconciling the world through Christ. So that what Jesus did is what you did. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose, you rose. It's already been done. It was done not on the cross. It was done way before that. It just showed up 2,000 years ago. But it was done before the foundation of the world. So that's who you are. I'm a Christian. And you stop saying words like, oh, I wish I were, you know, prettier, or nicer, or lovelier. Just stop that. You already are everything. Jesus did it. So what he did was the same thing he did in heaven. I always do what's pleasing to my Father. So I'm going to make Norman a new creation. Everybody here is a new creation because of what he did. Not because you understood it. You didn't understand it. Just say it. Do it. And so now you could do something and you don't see it. But someday you'll see it. Someday, you know. When is that? You know, I don't see it because everyone's security. No, you don't need security. You just need the certainty of that word. That's all you need is I'm a new creation. And I say that to Peggy every day, except I usually say it to her. Peg, you are such a blessing to me. You know, I am so blessed to have you as my wife. What a blessing. And she used to say, yeah. But now she's actually saying, I am. I am a good wife. And that's pleasing to me. That's awesome. But I know that's God wrought because I didn't wrought that. So God wrought that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm happy all the time. If you say you're happy all the time, yes, you can say it based on the word. But the thing is, it's just by faith. Because he's working all this thing out. There's a process going on. It's not a one-time event, born again. It's this keep going until you're perfected in love. And it won't happen until Jesus comes back the second time. Then you'll actually see it. You'll actually know, I really am. I really love her. I really understand. You know, all mysteries are mysteries today. But as you grow in it, the mystery of iniquity is done away with. And the mystery of righteousness, what we're talking about, is actually here. You're already righteous now. You have to talk to yourself each day when you look in the mirror. You're a Christian. You're awesome. Not for pride, for the opposite, for you humbling yourself underneath that word. This is who you are in Christ. Who said that? Well, he wrote it. Forget who said it and figure that out. Just do it. Just simply say, I'm going to do it. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm going to do it. And if you do that, then you say the words like I say every day to Peggy. And, you know, my actions are just simply a proof that I believed it. They're not the thing. Make the tree good, the fruit will be good. Make the tree good, the fruit will be good. So if you have a banana tree, produce bananas. That's it. If you have apple, you'll have apple. But the fruit is not the issue. I don't ever look around and eat the fruit. Oh, fruit for me, the branch. No, I don't do it. Then I don't give some to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, here's some fruit for you. No, Jesus doesn't get anything. I don't get anything. You're a slave. You're a servant to other people. How many here are excited about that? Norman. Is there anyone else that's excited about that? Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you for telling me who I am. Yeah, but that's exciting because you're a lover. But now you just do it by faith. You don't even have to understand it or anything. Just do it. Yeah. Just go and, you know, fill this place up because the whole city should be here hearing these simple, unadulterated words. Yes. They're powerful. And anybody can do it. Yeah, anybody. But you have to know the truth. You have to know the whole truth. You have to know nothing but the truth. And truth will set you free forever. That's how you lose your life. Then you find it. So chair 6 is finding it so you can be the bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And so That doesn't make any sense unless you realize those words do make sense. Everything in the Bible totally makes sense. And you realize, wow, that's me. It's already over. It was over before there was a world at all. He already settled everything. In heaven, there's no time and space. Down here, there's time and space and other things. But the truth is, there's nothing in heaven. It's already done. God already chose you, already knew you. That's foreknowledge. He predestined you to be what he originally intended you to be in Christ. Somebody thinks you're something. No, no, you don't want security on this. You just simply believe something and God knows it. I did that work. I did that work. He's judging his own work. I did that work for you. I did that work for you. And all you can say is thank you. Somebody was quoting the scripture about thank you. I think David was in his prayer. Thanking him. Why? Because he's done everything for you. You're not missing anything. You have everything. You're not looking for anything. You're a blessing just the way you are. Why? Because Jesus made a promise. You didn't make the promise. He made the promise. He didn't say, now I want you to promise me that you'll, you know, work really hard. No, there's nothing. You're his beloved. Jesus loved you before you first loved him. You were second. He was first. So since he already did it, this the whole world needs to know this. So go out and share it. Go out and share it. Tell it to everybody. Let's say you make a fool out of yourself. So what? You are a fool anyway. Why worry about that? The foolish man is someone that doesn't believe in God. The fool says in his heart, there's no God, but there is a God. And now I know there is a God. And I'm not going to back up. I want to go all the way with Jesus. Now, how many of you have a testimony this morning? Say, Pastor, I didn't hear you, but I heard God. When you said something, I saw God. You can do it by faith. Just do it by faith. I don't have to see it to see it. I can believe it without seeing it. Jesus said this to Thomas. It's not he who sees believes. It's he who believes sees. So he said to him, I don't want you to do anything. I want to just give you a gift. I have a gift. I want to give it to you. There it is. Three gifts right there, the atonement. And you can't repeat it. It's already been done once for all. Never again. It's already done. So share this. I mean, it's like having a new baby and then not wanting people to see the picture that's in your wallet, you know. Because wherever I go, I always have pictures of, you know, here's my youngest grandson, 7 years old, and I got Kara's in here. I just got my family in here. And it starts a conversation with people. Because I don't have anything except my own family, and you're my family. So I don't have a picture of y'all, but I don't. Otherwise I'd do that too. And here's the whole church right here. And so the best has been saved to the last. You haven't even seen anything yet. Okay, who has the testimony? Make it up. Just make it up. Just say something scriptural. You can't go wrong. If you say scripture, you're right on. Yes?
For me, in him is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
There's nothing like joy. And you talk about fullness, it is totally glasses full when you're with him, in
right.
him.
Right.
Is that fullness?
I love it. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect scripture. Someone else. Just make it up. Any scripture. You just say scripture, you're in. Because you're having faith in it. It's your death. It's your death when you do that. Who else?
I heard you say that you weren't sure when it really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Praying when you're really, really young. And
right.
It seems like in that spiritual sense that you were born again before he created the world. You were already in Christ.
Right. Totally.
Who knew?
No way. There's no way you could do it.
Incomprehensible.
Right. Right.
We were actually born again before he said go.
Absolutely. Yeah, because by foreknowledge. Because he always knows everything. And he has not one wicked bone in his body. He can't lie. That's one thing about God is he can never get in the flesh. Because he's not. He's spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But that's that whole business up there. all of that. I mean, I could have all the other pictures up there because it'd be too much on the stage. But the point is, those chairs are just a simple way of seeing, hey, I'm here right now. No, you're not. You're already done. It's already done. Right? So, because that's true, you could be happy. Happiness always leads to holiness, not the other way around. Holiness leads to nothing. It just means you have religion, but you're trying to please God. You're trying to do something. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Let God fix you up. He's real good. It's a dramatic, you know, thing, you know. Here's this ugly person. Look at this little person over here. You know, he can just fix you that quickly when you read the word. That word is true beauty is inward. True beauty is inward. It's not what you look like. It's not cosmetics. Big industry. Big deal. You know what? God's not interested in that. He doesn't care what you wear, what you look like, what you act, and so on. He's not. He's only interested in one thing. Do you have faith in Jesus? That's the only thing I accept. And if you do, that's just the foundation so you can be a disciple. When you're fully taught, you'll be like the master. And that's just so that you can be perfected. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then the law is over. He's totally pleased. And he did it all. He did it all. Who else? Yes. Right.
It's like you said.
Right.
We don't ever get out of it.
No.
We don't. And so
no.
What you're saying, you know, if the world, if people would come into this church.
Right.
I'm serious. And if they could remember what Aunt Susie or grandparents or Uncle Joel or whoever
right.
taught them about Jesus, the Holy Spirit would begin to.
Right.
Okay, let's go on a little bit further in this. Am I making
totally.
Sense?
Totally. Totally. Absolutely.
So, I mean, really.
Absolutely.
And our aunts and uncles that put us in those little
right.
plays,
right.
do you not think that we will not remember those as
right.
we get older?
Right.
We will not remember those.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That's why when I became a Christian, I went home and saw my first father, second father, third father, and we were reconciled just like that. I didn't want them to do anything. I wanted to do everything and just say, you know, I was no good and blah, 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 blah. But I love you just the way you are. And, you know, I won't know who's going to be in heaven, but, you know, I witnessed to them. I did it. Because that it's important that you forgive everybody in the world, no matter how ignorant they are. They're ignorant. And they need knowledge. And Jesus has it, just quote what he said, and it works. People get saved by that. They can get delivered by that. They can be healed by that. They can be whatever you want. It's right there in the Word. Governments could be just by that. I don't care what problem you have. God's got all the answers. He's got them all. So I'm not at all depressed. I'm not at all anxious. I'm not at all judgmental. I don't judge anybody for anything that they said or did. Just let everybody go and just say, you know, you're free. I can love you. I can love Al-Qaeda. I can love them when they're chopping my head off. It doesn't matter. If your life isn't over, you're not a Christian. The minute I met him, it was over. The minute I met him, it's over. Who else can say I'm happy or, you know, I'm rejoicing or whatever? This is the greatest, something. Brag on God. We're not bragging on ourselves. We're bragging on God. What he did in the past and still doing now and yet to do, which we haven't even seen the best part. You haven't even seen. Nobody's been in the new heaven and the new earth. Nobody. Nobody has seen the Jacob's trouble. I laugh at everything. Whatever happens, God knows all about that. So good will come out of it. So everything they do to be bad towards you, it'll work out against them. The scaffold that you know Haman built for Mordecai turned out to be hung on it, and his 10 sons hung after it. He's just waiting for you to believe the good news and then live it. He didn't say it so you can think about it. He said, live it. This is something that you can live. This is eternal life right here on earth. Right here. Do I see it? No. You don't have to see it. No. Don't. Don't even want it. You don't want any security. You want the certainty of that word. Is that word true or false? Who else? Yes.
I didn't remember that prayer that you said until you started saying it, but my mother knelt by my bed every night and made me repeat that prayer.
Powerful.
And I didn't understand until you started talking that I just thought it was a prayer. You know, how your mama makes you do a prayer. But now, after hearing the word, it's like she laid the foundation, and I didn't even know it, and she didn't know it.
Yeah.
But she was the one that laid the foundation.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Amen.
Perfect. Colleen. Yeah.
I thought about that song.
Right.
Because you know that is so foundational.
Right.
To our life.
Yeah.
Just
faith. Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. Who else? I want you to make a proclamation, confession, you know, not about your sin. Make a confession about your righteousness. You are righteous. You're already righteous. He is your righteousness. Totally.
You know, it's something you were, it just keeps speaking to me because even today when you were sharing, you know, people want to go do and go be and go, these churches that have all these activities going on. But unless we have seen, you know, the Lord and seen ourselves
yeah.
and then been forgiven,
right?
You can't, you're, it's all in vain. It's that you're doing nothing.
Right.
You know, because it's not coming out of love.
Yeah.
In fact, I shared
mm-hmm.
this. Talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. And something that I saw that was new that the Lord spoke to me was it says at the very end of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, out of all these gifts, all these, you know, because they were all speaking gifts. I was seeing, well, they're all speaking, and these mm-hmm. kids are, you know, they're believers and they're working on speaking and all this kind of stuff. But at the very end it says, but out of all this there is a more excellent way. And then it leads right into what? 1 Corinthians 13. Basically says, out of all this great speaking and everything, it's nothing. There's a more excellent way, which is love.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was
perfect.
But Isaiah 6 has kind of been speaking to me.
Right.
As you're sharing today, I was just
yeah.